that we're dealing with in Parshas Nitzavim is Chav Tes Chav Zayin. It says, "Vayitshem Hashem Yawad Mosam." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to carry them away from their land. The apple became the Ketzav Gadol with anger. The Yashlichem Alar Tacheres Kayom Hazeh is going to throw them to another land on a day like this. On a day like this, is going to throw them away to another land. Now, I wasn't able to make it perfect. Oh, you know what? It didn't even come out in the sheets itself. I tried so hard. The Lamed is a bigger Lamed than you'd see normally in a Pasuk. The Lamed is one of the 18 different words that you see that are either larger or smaller letters in the Torah. The Lamed is a huge letter. We're going to concentrate on that. What does that mean that we were thrown out of the land to another land on this day that the Lamed has to be big? So first, the Gemara Sanhedrin and the Kuf Yud Amud Beis brings Rabbi Akiva. This is in a Mishnah that learns from this Pasuk that the 10 Shvatim, that Saras Shvatim that were exiled from the land of Israel, will never return to Eretz Israel. They're never coming back. From the word Hayom, on that day they'll be gone and they won't return. In the future, they're never going to return again. Just like today, you are never going to back to Mitzrayim. You will never go back to the Midbar. You're going to stay in Eretz Yisrael, right? And you will never go back this way again. So too in the future, the Aseres HaShvatim, says Rabbi Akiva, will never return. They're not going back to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eliezer argues with his student. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. He argues with them, and the Chachamim seem to agree with them, saying that just like a day goes dark and then goes light, it's dark and then light, so too they may be in the dark now, the Aseres HaShvatim, they're in Gullus now, but they will be brought back to the light. They'll be brought back in the future. Reb Shimon, as a side note, by the way, just if you know Gemara, typically speaking, you do not see a Rebbe and a Talmud and the Talmud's Talmud argue in the same area. You don't normally see that, even by Tanoim. You don't see Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai was the youngest of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which is interesting. He learned from Hayom that if they continue doing what they were doing on that day that they were exiled, they continue acting evil and worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing these terrible things, then they'll never come back like Rabbi Akiva. But if they do better, says Rabbi Shimon, if they do better, then they will come back and they will have a chance to do tshuva, and it's up to them. They get to decide. So again, Rabbi Eliezer says they're coming back. Rabbi Akiva says they're not coming back. Rabbi Shimon says it depends. It depends on what they're doing. The Rabbeinu Bachaya points out this drush as well and says, based on these psukim, that it must be referring to Golus Bayis Rishon. The 10 Shvatim were exiled in the midst of Bayis Rishon, the first base of Mikdash. Then Nebuchadnezzar came and exiled us to Babel. Right? But it must be that it's referring to over here. And the nations of the world, the idea is that we worship the Avodah Zarah. And that great sin destroys the land of Israel. I wrote the word contaminates, caused them to be taken out of the land to never come back ever again. The Netziv says the word Vayashlechem sounds like someone who throws something. Right? He threw us out. So to speak, as if you don't care about it, he just threw us away. The nations have always used this as a proof that the Jews were rejected. They were never taken ever again. That we were thrown away to another land as if God doesn't care about us, as if we were a piece of garbage. But the truth is, the very next pasuk says, "Hanitzros l'Hashem Elokeinu." The hidden things are for God. "Vaniglos lanu v'leinu ad olam." These are part of the hidden. It's part of the hidden love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not random. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that He saved us. He took us out of our land because in our land we're that bad, and He brought us into Galus where we can improve upon ourselves, make ourselves better, and then who knows who's going to be with us? Who knows we can do what we can be? That's the idea that Nitziv says. We're going to go into that theme as we go on a little bit over here. Now, the Ramban says again, it's all a hint to our future Gullus, that the land is going to be desolate and things are going to be terrible for us, and that's going to happen right after, right around the Gaonic period and right around the times of the first Mitzvah that he goes through. But the Kli Yakar explains why the Gullus was necessary. Let's go into this idea. The punishment they should have gotten was that all the Jews were destroyed. That's what they should have gotten. Meaning, if the Jews do evil, not for the Egos of, no, this would be for the Avodah Zarah they were doing throughout the temple period. They should have been utterly destroyed. There should be no Jews left in the land whatsoever. But the land was split up between them and the land. The punishment, I should say, was split up between them and the land. They were not going to be fully punished. There was going to be some punishment given to them, and some punishment was going to be given to the land that they were going to be on. This is the pshat. They can't be destroyed completely. Kayom hazeh, you exist today, says the Kli Yakar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klal Yisrael, you're always going to exist, but you deserve to die. You deserve to die for all the terrible things you've done. So what's going to happen? Because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you something that's equal to death. something that will be like that. The land will die. The land will be destroyed. You will die and get galus. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be able to start over, so to speak. Similar to what happened by the Mabul. It's going to be where you're going to leave the land. The land's going to remain on its own. The land will be destroyed, overturned, completely taken apart, and then put back together. That's the only way for you to come back there and not be affected by it. See, there's a point, and what the Kliyakar is hinting to, but he doesn't say straight out, is that you can affect your surroundings to such a point where you can no longer do something good in that area. Maybe there's an area where you davened when you were a kid, and you just had all these terrible thoughts, and you never took them away. Well, davening in that area again, just going back to that area, means all you're doing is bringing up those bad thoughts again. The land, so to speak, is affected by what you've done there. And the other hand, you could do this in a good way as well. You ever daven in a place where a really kadosh person has davened? You ever daven, like take a certain area? So you sit in that area where the kadosh man is, or you go around that kadosh person, you can feel a little bit more kedusha. You can feel like you're adding on to what was already there. See, there's a difference. The land can be affected. If the land is affected, for good or for bad, for good or for evil, then you have this concept where good things can happen in that area, bad things can happen in that area. That's the Kliyakar. So you gotta leave. I have to destroy the land. I'll take everything down. I'll rework the land. I'll make it better for you so when you come back, you'll actually be able to start over. You'll feel like it's there, and you're not just going back into a place that where everything bad has happened to us. The Miyamalei says, this is really advantageous for us just to be in Galus itself. We're out of our land. The nations won't let us mix in with them. Where we've gone throughout the years, except in recent years, the nations have kept us out and made sure we had our own ghettos, lived by ourselves, without any of their, whatever they have, without anything that they have. Says the Miyamalei, ways, we're able to learn with Hasmada and Mysterious Nefesh. They won't let us get certain jobs. So we had no choice but to sit in the base medrash and learn. What else were we going to do? So there were tremendous Talmidei Chachamim that came at times when we were in Galus. Miyamalei says there is a point to Galus. The point to Galus could be not only to punish us because of things that we had, but also to be able to make us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel something that we've never felt before. It's not a coincidence. This is true throughout all of our history, where after something crazy happened, there was an influx of a crazy amount of Kedusha. I've said this before in Shiram, but I'm just going to give quick examples. We all know that Rashi and the Bali Tosos were an unbelievable boon to people learning Torah. We all know that, right? Right? Rashi and Bali Tosos, without them, where would we be? We don't have Rashi and Tosos on the Gemara. What are we going to do? Rashi and the Bali Tosos all came about as a result, and somewhat you could say at the same time, as the later Crusades. That's not a coincidence. It's because the Crusades were there, the Jews had no choice but to find a way back to Torah. They had no choice. So they found a way back, they started learning. It's not a surprise that when the Spanish Inquisition happened, all of a sudden you saw a crazy influx of Mekubalim, the Arizal, the Ramak, and all of those great Gedolim that went to Eretz Yisrael. All of them came up at the time right after the Spanish Inquisition. The Kelmaniki massacres, they could lead to, depending on how you look at it, the Shach, the Taz, all the Balei Shulchan Aruch, those that wrote on the Shulchan Aruch. And recently, since the Holocaust, although it's obviously we're not in the same level as we were back in the day, but to have a world, we had Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Aaron Cutler building up America, where you had the Brisker Rav and the Chazon Ish and the Stipler building up Eretz Yisrael. There hasn't been a time like that for years. Whenever there's sorrows for Klal Yisrael, Jews respond by learning Torah and being masmid even more so. The idea is, says Miyamalei, it's possible that our Golus is there to be able to make us appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and deserve to come back. That's the idea behind it. Shach says it as well. That's the pshat. There is sorrows. We don't always understand them. We don't get what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, but that Golus can be an unbelievable thing for us. It brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while our Niglos Lono Venu Ad Olam, the things that we see with our own eyes, for us and our children, we have to take it as it is. Chafetz Chaim was a bit more direct when it came to stuff like this. When the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael and people were farming the land and acting as farmers do, farmers don't have time to learn. There's no time for them to learn. They have to work from morning till night every single day. So it's difficult for them to take care of their animals, take care of their fields, and then to learn as well. There was a tremendous amount of Amir Ratzon. that were living at that time. When they were living in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't have time to learn. When you don't have time to learn, you're going to automatically start worshiping Avodah Zarah. You're automatically going to start doing things that you know you're not supposed to do just because you're around. The Chafetz Chaim says, because they were working and they weren't able to sit and learn as much as they used to be able to do, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't let this happen anymore. He turned it around, so to speak. He made it, said it wasn't going to be that way as well. I'm sending you into Golus that you'll be able to sit there and teach your children Torah, that you're going to be able to sit and learn the way you weren't able to when you were sitting in Eretz Yisrael. That was the great break that we had when we went out to Golus. And even then, it's such an unbelievable thing, but our Torah literature, everything improved in such a way. That's that for right now. Rav Hirsch, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says, the large lamed now stands for an instructive sign for the development of all the nations around us. Listen to what it says. It's as if it says, Vayolichem, not that God threw us, but that God led us throughout the nations so that we could improve them. I want you to consider this for a second. Consider this historical fact. The most civilized nations in the world have always been the countries that we've been involved with. Every other country where Jews did not go, had no shaychus, they weren't our enemies, those were backward nations. Now, although there's exceptions to this rule, for the most part, you're dealing with just tribes who were living in the middle of nowhere, but anywhere where we were able to improve upon those nations. Now, it's possible that there were other factors involved that allowed that to be the way that Europe and the Middle East and etc., they were able to work on themselves, and something that happens to be interesting, that the Middle East became went in a downward spiral and became more backward as years went on when the Jews left the Middle East and left Eretz Yisrael. Regardless, our purpose is to go out there in the world and show the nations what to act like, what to be, and influence all those people around us. What's that?
Or Lagoyim.
But to be that Or Lagoyim, so to speak. We are able to make them more civilized. We're able to make them more connected to God. Even if they don't believe in the same God as we do, we're able to connect them back to make them think. And think about it. Half of the world, literally 3.5 billion people, are involved with us in some way, shape, or form. If you consider Christianity and Islam an offshoot of Judaism, where they basically believe in something that has to do with our Torah, just take it to their level, you're dealing with half the world that has been influenced by our teachings. Literally half the world. We may make up 0.01% of the entire world, but we have half the world that are doing what we do, just in a messed up way. Says Rav Hirsch, that's the point of us going out there. It's by Olichin that we can be out there and we can show them what to do and how to develop their countries and become better people. That's the idea behind it. But now we have to get into the bigger lamed. Why does it have to be big? What's the pshat behind the extra big lamed that we have over here? Says the Balaturim and Rokeach. Both say there's a missing yud here as well, and we talked about the 10 tribes before. It's going back to those 10 tribes. Shevet Yehuda was lost in a different way from the 10 tribes. We know that. When Yehuda was brought into exile by Nebuchadnezzar, they all went to bubble together, right? Everybody went to bubble together, while the 10 tribes were brought everywhere. Many of them were brought beyond the river. Anybody know the name of the river? No, it's a hard one.
Sambatyo?
Oh, very good, Shmuel. The river Sambatyo, all the way into the Hari Choshech, the mountains of darkness, all the way back there. They were thrown out of the land, these 10 tribes, to never come back in an area where they couldn't even find their way back, as opposed to Shevi Yehuda. That's the pshat where they were never going to return. The Shari Aaron explains, they didn't even know these places existed before they were brought there by Sancheiriv, and where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them after they were exiled. They had no idea what to do. But Yehuda was taken to Babel. Babel, they all knew. And Babel, they could come back after 70 years. So the pshat behind the big lamed is Vayashlichem, is some of them were thrown far away. So far away, and that's the big lamed. They were thrown so far away that they had no way of finding themselves back, and that's why the yud is missing from the word Vayashlichem. That yud in between the lamed and the chaf is missing to tell you those 10 tribes were lost forever. The Rabbein Ephraim says that by Yitshem, right, in the beginning of the pasuk is 756, it's the amount of years from Gezeris Meraglim until the 10 tribes were exiled. That also explains it. Rabbi Bechaya says that the Lamed is the largest letter, and it points upward. So meaning something is taken down, so to speak, from the heaveens, and this is what it means. The Kisei HaKavod has four pictures on it. The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the throne of glory. On it, there's a picture of an Adam that looks like Yaakov Avinu. There's a picture of a Kruv, an angel that used to be ashore, but it was taken down by the Egel Azov. An Aryeh, a lion, and a Nesher, an eagle. when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to send Bnei Yisrael into Galus, he did, says the Rabbeinu B'chayim, he took the tzura of the Adam that's on the Kisei HaKavod and threw him down to the ground. Threw him down and allowed the Jews to then be scattered from that. Have you ever seen, have you ever heard, like, you know when there's a downpour, right? When there's a huge storm, and there's just, when you get to a certain place, there's just like this huge downpour where there's just one big thing of water that just pours down, and that's that. I mean, regular rain is all around, but there's this one area that just shoots down. That's the idea, says the Rabbeinu B'chayim, of what's going on with the Kadosh Baruch Hu when Jews go into exile. It's as if he lowers his Shechina to us, but he brings it down and then scatters us by doing such a thing. That's what the Lamech stands for, the shooting down from the heavens down below, HaKadosh Baruch Hu scattering us to all the different directions. The Kli Yakar says this hints to when there would be exile. The Lamech stands for the 30 generations, 50 from Shlomo HaMelech till Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, and 15 from Avraham Avinu to Tzidkiyahu. That there were 30 generations altogether from Avraham Avinu all the way to when they were exiled, to show that that's what it is. And there's also the moon involved, that the phase of the moon, that's why we stand for the moon, the 30 days that it's there. And the Tanya Kor Rav Chaim says the 30 exiles that the people had. But let's go on to another issue altogether. The word Vayashlichem without the Lamed spells the word V'yeshchem. You exist. Why do you exist? Says the Raz Meir, because Lamed stands for Limud HaTorah. The only reason why we've been able to exist throughout Galus, why we've kept our identity as a nation, why we've been Jews, is because, simply put, we have learned. Whenever the Jews don't learn, when they've forgotten about their learning, they decide that Torah is not for them, they've been lost in the annals of history. They've been lost to the other nations. They forgot about what they exist for. Learning is the only thing that keeps us together, says the Raz and Meir. With a lamed, that's big, when a person learns Torah, v'yeshchem, you will exist. If you take away the lamed, if you take it away completely, then you won't be able to exist. Everything will go together. You won't be able to have it anymore. This is the glue that keeps us together wherever we are. Rav Meir Shapiro came out with the most brilliant idea in the first Knesset Gedolah in Europe. You know, that video that they just came out with, the Chafetz Chaim. Did everybody see it? Should see it. When the Chafetz Chaim is walking in front, and then that guy smacks the camera back so that nobody can see it. Has everybody seen it, right?
Oh,
if you haven't seen it, everybody's got to see this video. It's the real video of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't look like the Chafetz Chaim pictures that you all see when you look at the Chafetz Chaim book, etc. The real Chafetz Chaim, who is a short man, he's wearing a little coat, he's walking right there. It's amazing to see a gadol from a century ago. Literally a century ago. Not him. No, it was a butcher from Rabin. He was a good-looking guy, but no, that wasn't him. The Chafetz Chaim was he had a look. You can see it. I don't know how to describe it. He can't describe it.
Why did he study putting that picture up?
I don't know. It looks good. For some reason, that came up there. I don't know why. What it was there for. Somebody took it at one point. What? No, it's not so far off, but it's he looks a little bit bigger, right? It doesn't look exactly like, but you have to see. If you haven't seen this video, just look up Chafetz Chaim video. Okay? No, I'm not. Okay, I don't want you going online. Anyway, while you're on my website going online, you should somehow write in Chafetz Chaim video, right? And then do not do anything else, okay? And disable everything afterward. After you watch this, then forget about ever going online ever again, because it's evil and we all know that. Anyway, regardless, you have to see this video. You have to see the Chafetz Chaim. It's 100% worth it. But either way, well, maybe not worth it because of all the evil that you'll get afterward. But let's say, the Chafetz Chaim is saying like this. The Chafetz Chaim is saying, when he went to that first Knesset Gedolah, Rav Meir Shapiro was there, and he said over his line of Daf Yomi, which was a crazy, crazy thing to be able to start up, that everybody should do the same Daf. He wanted to connect Klal Yisrael together, and there's no way to do that without learning. You can't. There's no way to do it. Yes, we daven for each other when there's tsaros. Yes, we feel the pain of other Jews. Yeah, we send money. We definitely do that. But to learn together, to know that wherever I go, anywhere in the world, there's a Daf Yomi Shir that's available for me in that area. To know that, again, online, I'm not saying you should go, but if there is a need, you can find a Daf Yomi Shir anywhere. You want an 18-minute Daf Yomi Shir that goes through the entire Daf? You can find it. You'll find it. There's tens of them. You can find them all over the place. You can have a Daf Yomi Shir wherever you want. That idea of connecting Klal Yisrael all over the world through Torah is exactly how we're supposed to survive throughout Galus. It's the only ability that we have. Says the Chidah, before the world was created, every letter was written b'miluah. In other words, the whole Torah should have been written like this. Bereshis, Beis Yud Sof, Reish Yud Shin, Aleph Lamed Bey, right? Shin Yud Sof, Shin Yud Nun, I'm sorry. Each going all the way through, each letter would have been fully written out. That's what it should have been. The whole world, the whole Torah should have been written that way, says the Chidah. A Lamed would have been written out as Lamed Mem Dalet. It actually would have stood for Limud HaTorah. The Aleph, he says, was never supposed to be Aleph. It was supposed to be Af. Aleph Pei without the Lamed. So here's the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that we wouldn't survive with that Af, with that anger, so we put in a Lamed. Says the Chidah, when we're Melamed, when we learn and we put in the Lamed, then the Af turns into Aleph. And we're able to deal with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. When you take away the Lamed and you don't learn, it becomes Af. He says, that's the pshat by over here. The Af that we mention in this pasuk, where we say that we're thrown out of the land, the Af, Ubechem of the Katzav Gadol, the Af that's there, is only when you're not learning. When you put in the Lamed, there's no more Af. There's no more anger, we're able to survive. The Chidah also says that when you stop learning, then you all of a sudden come on to Yaakov. We all know the line. Yaakov Avinu was told that kol Yaakov v'yadayim idei Esav. That the voice is Yaakov's v'yadayim, the hands are the hands of Esav. As a side note, okay, I got a good story for you. When I was maybe 22 years old, something like that, I was married for about a year. I didn't have a kid yet, so it was probably around 22. So I was walking around Eretz Yisrael, and I saw the craziest thing in the world. So I didn't know about this until afterward, but apparently there was a store in Mea Sharim, not Mea Sharim, a little bit off, but it was up around Strauss, that was selling videos to Haredim. So it was a Haredi guy that owned it, but he was selling videos to Haredim, but it was in the back. It was like one of those photography stories. You know, like they used to have Photoshops, you know, where you develop your pictures. So in the back, he had videos they were selling. Somebody found out about it, and they sent like 700 kids, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, 700 kids to destroy the shop. They sent them all in. So all these Haredi kids were running inside and they were destroying this. Now me and my wife are walking home from Gula after eating Uri's pizza, which is a delicious thing to do on a Friday, and we're like not thinking about anything. Everything was all good, right? And all of a sudden, there is a sea of kids in front of us. A sea of kids. And they took over the streets. All the buses are stopped. They're all over the place. They're throwing movie reels all over the place. You know, there's like the videotapes, like the VHS. They were throwing the tape everywhere. It was all over the street. It was like a ticker tape parade, right? And me and my wife are standing there. We're like, we have no idea what to do. We didn't know what was going on. We had absolutely no idea. All we saw was like a ticker tape parade. We're like, oh, parade. Everything was good. And we found out later it was crazy. So either way, regardless, all of a sudden, one of the kids took out, right, it took, like, looked up ahead and he heard, like, the Mishkara coming, the police coming. He's like, Mishkara, Mishkara! So all the kids start bolting the other direction. Start bolting. And I yelled. I was, like, so proud of myself. I yelled, Hayadayim Yedei Esav! Right? Hayadayim Yedei Esav! What are you guys doing? So I turned out later there was for evil purpose, you know, because of the video. So it turns out those Yedayim were destroying Esav. So I'm an American, you know, you can't always figure things out really quickly. Regardless, the line of Akol Kol Yaakov Yadayim De Esav is our coal is used for good. And if we don't have the coal that goes for Kol Yaakov, then the Yadayim becomes Yadayim Esav. Then Esav gets involved and Esav starts to destroy. So again, says the Chidah, when we have the Lamed and we're learning, then Akol Kol Yaakov, you don't have to worry about Esav. But if not, then Esav comes into play. Listen to this, says the Chidah. Take out the Lamed from Vayashlichem, Vav Yud Shin Chof Mem is the gematria of Esav. That's the gematria of Esav. Take out the Lamed, you get Esav. That's the pshat behind it. Debra Chassidim and Simon Kupnam Chas says the Lamed is called that because again it refers to us learning specifically about Yiras Hashem. The Lamed is the largest letter because that's the greatest learning that a person can do. To learn for Yiras Hashem is a side note. You should be davening if you have children or if you're hoping for children, etc. You should always be davening in your Shema Kolenu for the following thing. You put in your Shema Kolenu right in the middle or toward the end, right before you Lord's own. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, hear it some of Nei Avinu Shabashamayim. You can hear it some of Nei Hashem Elokein Avotei Avoseinu. Shetiyeh Lebonai Ulevnosai. There should be for my sons and my daughters Yiras Shamayim V'Yiras Chet. Something you should daven for every single day of your life. Every single day that my children should have Yiras Shamayim V'Yiras Chet. The Ben Yishai says it's a skula and it's a guarantee that you'll have extra siyata d'shmaya to help your children. That's the line that he says over there. It's an amazing line that he says. Says the Sefer HaChassidim, it's the largest letter because without Yira, without that connection, we're going to be thrown out of the land. That's the idea behind it. Now, I'm going to leave this period off before we go to the next subject with a chiddush, and it's a crazy one, okay? This is my chiddush. I am not telling you this is Torah. We're just going to leave this in the realm of, okay, this is pretty cool, but it is not Torah, okay? So if you don't like not hearing Torah, then you can close your ears now, but if you don't like hearing non-Torah, so this is non-Torah, okay? We'll call it this. We just said that the Yeshchan, without the Lamed, is a Gematria of Esav, right? It happens to also be the same Gematria as Ke-America. As in Ke-America. Chav Aleph Mem Reish Yud Kafe. Kote. I don't know if that's how you spell America. I don't care. So it's possible that when we say that they were thrown away to another land, we're thrown out to another land, it refers to our land, which is America. That we were thrown away to America. Kayomazeh. I always understood it this way, but it's a crazy thing. Kayomazeh means on a day like this where all these curses are happening and terrible things are happening, you'll be saved by being thrown to a different land. So we all know that in the times of the Spanish Inquisition started on August 3rd, 1492, which happened to have been Tisha B'Av. The Spanish Inquisition started on August 1st in 1492. Columbus sailed on August 3rd in 1492. That he found America right at the time where Kayomazeh, these terrible things were happening. So that's my idea of the board. The hint that I gave for this is where I came up with this in the first place, that it refers to America, is because I always found it is absolutely hilarious. There are two ways to write the Lamed in the Sefer Torah. Usually it's written only in one way, which we all know is the Lamed goes up this way, right, then that, the line right across, and then up, right? But if there's a kuf right on top of the Lamed that has to be there, then you can't put the Lamed up because it'll run into the kuf. So what you do is you lean it to the side. It goes up, around, and then like that. To the side. You know what I'm talking about, right? You take those two letters, those lamids, and you put them one on top of the other. Just think about it for a second, because I wasn't able to put it down on top of here. Look at a lamid that goes like that. You close off this side over here, it looks like South America. Okay? That little line that goes up from the lamid looks like Central America. Now take the other lamid that goes like that. Do you think the other lamid, the bottom looks like the top of Mexico, right? Even Mexico is represented, although Florida isn't because Florida is evil. And then you go around, right? Lamid goes around just like that, goes all the way around. So you have this area which is North America, and it goes back for Canada. It even has Quebec. Even Quebec is included in this. My idea is, again, this is not Torah. My idea is that the lamids represented North and South America. Okay? I found that to be an unbelievably cool idea, but again, it's not Torah. Don't quote me on this one. Don't say like I came up with a chiddush. It's not a chiddush. It's not going to make my sefer. It's just evil. All right. The Mesefta Sofrin, the Psikta Zutrafi, and the Minchas Shai says it refers to our long days in Gullus because again we weren't able to learn properly, etc. But you should know like this. There's a sefer Mishulchan Gavoa that is a bunch of different boards. He quotes from the Ritvaz. I was looking for this Ritvaz. I could not find it. But he quotes from the Ritvaz. I was finding it was quoted in three different places, but I couldn't find. Here's what it is. All of Klal Yisrael in Gullus have the din of an Aveda and Hefker. If you are in Gullus, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing down there and anybody can pick us up, but we're Hefker to anybody. So it's as if we no longer are owned by the Balabayas. The Balabayas, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't own us anymore. The halakha is, if a guy takes a wallet, throws it in the street, and leaves it there, then the halakha is that Hefker, anybody can pick it up. The guy just threw it in the middle of the street. What are you thinking? That is Hefker, anybody's allowed to pick it up. But if the owner of the wallet has a string on the wallet, and at any point he can pull it back, and he's just waiting. He's keeping it in the street, like an evil person, right, waiting. And he pulls it back eventually, and he knows he's going to pull it back, then the wallet is not Hefker at all.
It has an ID in it?
Even if it has an ID, meaning you can take it's Hefker for right now, because he threw it in the middle of there. Obviously, if it's lost, that's a different story, okay? That doesn't make a wallet Hefker just because it's it has wallet money in here, so that's fine. I mean, where the guy took it, threw it in the street, and said, I don't want this anymore. That makes it Hefker, right? That's the idea. We are called, we're in Gullus. We were thrown away by God. But there's a Hevel Nachalasso. There's a rope that connects us back. There's a string attached to us that allows us to be connected to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's through Zchus Avos, that no matter where we go, no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us, nonetheless, we are always connected back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are not Hefker. That's the idea. That's what the Lamed is. The large arm sticking out from the top, the large letter, is that we're still connected. We have our arm up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to us up in Shemayim, that will never be cut off completely. We are not Hefker. We are not Naveda. That's the idea behind it. Okay. The next thing, the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer says it in two different places. The Chassam Sofer says it as well. You know, there are two ways that Mashiach can come, right? There's Be'itah, and Achishena. The proper time when Mashiach is going to come, meaning the last time that he can come. And Achishena is, if we do well, then we're going to deserve it to go. This is the idea. Says the Chazam Sofer, the Kayom Hazeh, the day becomes dark and then light. So to the future Gula, there are ways for us to make it dark and then light. We can make it light. If Hanistros Lasham Elokeinu, the hidden things, when Mashiach definitely has to come, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Niklos. But the way for us to bring it about, to bring about Mashiach, Lanu Levaneinu Ad Olam, it's up to us to do, and if we do it correctly, we can bring about Mashiach, we can make it happen. My Rashiva, Rabbi Lerfield, used to say, you know, when Kabbalah Shabbos, he passed that to me, Michael, you know, Kabbalah Shabbos, there are two times where he say basically the exact same line, it's just one little thing. So the idea is we say it in two different paragraphs, and they're really similar to one another. We say over here in Shiru Hashem Shir Chadash toward the end, Lifnei Hashem Kiva, Kiva Lishpot Aretz. Right before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes to judge the land. Yishpot Tevel V'Tzedek V'Amim V'Emunaso. He judges the nations or the land in righteousness, and all the nations in his trust, in his faith. The next one is we have Lifnei Hashem and Mizmor Shiru Hashem Shir Chadash. Lifnei Hashem Kiva, just once. Yishpot Aretz. In front of God, he comes to judge the land. Yishpot Tevel V'Tzedek V'Amim V'Meisharim. And the people with straightness, with yasherness, with yashrus. That's how he's going to judge the people. That's how he words it. It's an amazing verse. He says there are two ways in which Mashiach can come. The Chiddush, Mar Shiva says, is that if he comes be'ita in his proper time, he's going to be preceded by Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi comes first, and then comes Mashiach. But if it's Achishena, where we did so well that Mashiach has to come down immediately, there's no time for Eliyahu HaNavi to come down first. Instead, just Mashiach comes down and takes care of us as it is. Our emunah is that there will be a time when Mashiach will come. It's our faith. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He's going to send it to us. That is, Kiva, Kiva Lishpot Aretz. He will come, Eliyahu. Kiva, again, Mashiach will then come, Lishpot, to judge the land. That's Amin Bamunasu. When we have faith in God that that's what's going to happen, there will be Eliyahu and Mashiach. On the other hand, when it's Amin B'nei Sharim, when we're doing Yashrus, and we're doing the right thing, and everybody's good, then it's Kiva Lishpot Aretz. Only Mashiach will come to judge the land. That's the difference between Bi'ita and Achishena. That's the concept behind it. Alright, we have one last thing over here that we want to go through. You have to wonder why we were treated differently from Sodom. We had a bit of idea beforehand that deals with this, but for right now, this is something that we have to have. Why were the people at the times of the Beis HaMikdash when they were destroyed different from the people of Sodom? Sodom, we know, not only was the land destroyed, but the people were destroyed with it. Nobody got out of Sodom except for Lot and his daughters, his two daughters, and his wife almost made it out. But every person was destroyed in Sodom, as well as the land being completely decimated, turning into the salt sea that we have today. Eretz Yisrael, the people were not killed, even though the land was made desolate. So why is it that we were different from Sodom? What did they do so badly that we did not have? What's the difference between us? The Meshech Chochma says, when we left Egypt and we entered the Midbar, we were told, you're going to accept the Torah, or I'm going to destroy the world. You're going to accept the Torah, or else I'm going to throw this mountain on top of you. You're going to accept the Torah, or your nation of 2.5 to 3 million people will not have any water, mun, or anani akavod anymore. It's all going to be gone. So we had no choice. They didn't want their children to die. They didn't want to die from the mountain on top of them. And they understood this is what the world was based on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, you do it or you die. So we had no choice. We accepted the Torah because we were forced. So we always have that taina on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when we do wrong, and people do avodah zarah, and they do bad things, so we can always taina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you forced us to do it. We didn't want to accept it. You put it in our hands, granted, but we had no choice but to accept it. We had to do it. So that was forced. That's an anus. An ones is pater mina mitzvos. I'm pater mina mitzvos. I don't have to do something if I'm like that. I can choose to do it, but I don't have it. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right. Sodom, they don't have a choice. Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach was automatic, and that had to be kept by the non-Jews. When they didn't keep it, they were destroyed along with their land, because the land was metame through all of their deeds. By us, we destroyed the land. The land has to have an upheaval. But we ourselves had a taina of onis. So says the Meshech Chochma, we were able to say we're not like Sodom. We have a taina of onis, we can leave. That comes with a caveat, though. The caveat is that by Megillah, Esther, Kimu v'kiblu kol Yehudim. The Jews accepted the Torah. They were Mekayim and Mekablet upon themselves because they wanted to keep it. They re-accepted the Torah. No longer are we a nuisance. Now we're fully accepting the Torah. At that point, when the Jews don't keep the Torah that they accepted upon themselves, we no longer have the kind of anusim, and that means that the Jews can be killed with or without the land. That's the unfortunate part that happened to us afterward. That's why in Gullus Babel, before Megillus Esther happened, before they reaccepted the Torah, as soon as they went to Gullus, they were fine. Nobody killed them. They went out to Gullus. On the way to Gullus, the Arabs killed us. But once we got to Gullus, Babel was really good to us. Really good to us. A little too good. We intermarried a little bit with them, a little bit, a lot with them, right? And it became much worse for them because of that, because a lot of Jews were lost. Not too many Jews came back with Ezra and Nehemiah, almost 35,000, right? As opposed to all the millions that could have come back with them. But the point is, says Meshach Hoffman, nowadays, after Esther, now unfortunately we can be killed in Gullus. And that's what made our second base Hamikdash so much worse, so to speak, from what we had before. We no longer have that claim, we no longer have that idea. The concept is crazy. And the Tzvar Shlomo really speaks about it as well. The concept is, the large lamed stands for our ability to withstand Gullus. We know that that means Limud HaTorah. We understand that that means Limud HaTorah. We have to understand to ourselves, we have to figure out for ourselves what we can do to keep that Kiyum alive. What can we do for ourselves, for our kids, for our community, so to speak, to make sure that stays alive and make sure that we keep that Limud so that even though we're thrown away, we can still be the Yeshchem and find our way back to cause the Achishena, and thus the Nisros Lashem Alakenu will be able to have whatever we need from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. Stop with that, guys. Have a good show.